John chapter 3. This year in our church, in 2013, we're talking about being real. And this month is talking about our local church. We ought to be real in our actions. And I don't know about you, but I grew up in the 60s, and I remember in the 70s they talked about being real, quit being plastic. How many remember those days? Amen. And talking about the things things that just people just talk about instead of being just real. Man should be able to live a life, and people should see your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ without you having to tell them what you really are. And we as Christians have a great responsibility in our life. And that great responsibility is that we would be real. And I think one of the things we ought to be real. We talked about being real in our salvation. And we've talked about real in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also be able to be real in our attendance to our local church. We ought to be real in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ loves. Now tonight I'm going to talk about the local church even in more depth. But I want you to think why you're here today. What in the world you come to church? What in the world did you get up? My wife and I came from Hawaii, and that's 4 hours difference. You know, I was just telling Rick, he says, "Are you tired?" I said, "Yeah, it's 7:30 right now in Hawaii, man, in the morning." And there's a difference. And I know you took a hit last week with the timeline, the time change. I hate that. Leave us alone. Get used to one thing, just leave us alone, amen. But they have some brilliant ideas about it. I think that just somebody wanted to sell more clocks or something, amen, to be able to change. Well, I want to talk about the difference. There is a difference in a Christian life. And the difference is shown by our love. To the highest point of the Christian life experiences. Now listen now, the highest point of Christian experience is love. That's the highest point. I'd also say it's the lowest point. In every aspect of our life that we ought to show our love to one another. There is no way that you can hate somebody if you read 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11, verse 24. You can't do it. Because then you realize that, hey, I'm on a sink. I'm not in the right game here. I got a problem here if I don't love the brethren. And that's part of being real, amen? That's part of being real. And we need to be very careful. I've been in churches that I just don't understand. Brother Nathan Gross and I were talking about this and about the troubles and heartaches and the meanness in sometimes churches. Thank God for Heritage Baptist Church. Well, I've seen some pickles, I'll tell you what, brother. They're sour pickles, amen. Just mean and ornery and devilish. And you're saying, what in the world does that have to do with anything with God? And so I guess I call you to that attention to you. I call your attention to being real in our church, in our love with each other. The biggest and the highest point of the Christian life is the experience of love. We now abide in faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Love is honorable. Love is ethical. Love is fair. Love is respectable. Love is good. And love always proves life. I don't know about you, but I sure love to live. I sure love living in a loving home, and where words are spoken in love and not in fierceness and fear. The Bible said that love casteth out all fear. If you know someone loves them, even though that they have to discipline you, you know they're going to do that in love. You tell my boys, I'm not doing this because I hate you. I'm doing this because I love you. And I'm sure that all of them in the back of their mind said, yeah, right. Yeah! Woohoo! Amen. The test of genuineness in the believer of a Christian is not your profession, and it's not your religious activity, It is not your faithfulness of church attendance, though those are very important, or lofty hymn singing. The proof which provides a Christian of his or her testimony is what? Love. And so I'll bring you the first note is this. Love proves our difference to the nature, to the natural man, or human nature. Love proves our difference to the natural man and human man. Look at what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning that we should, what? It's right in your Bible. Love one another. Verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Who's the wicked one? Satan. And slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. I don't understand this. I remember going to school and some kid would always get 100 on their class, their paper, or 100 on their report, 100%. And why is it everybody used to get mad at them? Or they'd say, "Ah, you're a goody two-shoes." Or like they used to tell me in college, "You're ruining the curve." I thought we were supposed to study. I thought we were supposed to do the best we can. If a D is the best you can, bless God, hallelujah, let's go out and have a root beer float, amen. Amen. But if you can get an A and you're getting a C, shame, shame, shame on you. Everybody's got the same time, 24 hours a day. Even in those things, he got mad at his brother because his brother was righteous. Isn't that amazing how that you live and somebody will try to get you to do something wrong, somebody will try to get you to lie, and you say, "No, I'm not going to tell a lie. I'm not going to do that." And then they get mad at you. What's with that? It's always from the beginning, isn't it? No difference, is it? The love which we are admonished to love one another is a reflection of the divine nature of the Christians possesses after he has accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. You get that love. There's a difference in your life when you accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. It is a result or the manifestation of the believers taking on or putting on the nature of God. I start loving people. I start overlooking their character flaws. I start overlooking their stupidity. Bless God, you got to love them. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
That's what we get when we get saved. That's one of those byproducts. That's one of the manifestations or the things that we see once a person accepts Christ as their personal Savior. The Bible says all things pass away. Behold, all things become new. There's something different about you. I don't understand it. You used to get flipped out. You used to get so mad, get so upset. You used to get so moody. And now what happened to you? You are. Why? Because we manifest Jesus Christ in our heart. There's a difference. So if you see this happening in your house, you have a right to question their Christianity. By their fruits ye shall know them. That's what Jesus said. This love that is spoken here is merely a, not merely a friendly feeling or a sentimental affection. It is love that the world cannot experience, listen to me, cannot experience without Christ living within them. That's why there's such a difference. Now, I know you've heard this, but I just want, for some maybe haven't, I just want to go over it. There are three words in the Greek language that speak, that talk about love. There's eros, which is not used in the Bible. That's an erotic sense. It was used in the Temple of Diana and things like that, the immorality point of view. And then there's the word phileo, which means love or kiss or to, I like that, amen, to to approve or to like or sanction or treat affectionately or kindly or to welcome or befriend, to show signs of love, or a fond of doing something. Oh, I just love to ride my, you know, whatever. Oh, I just love to go out and, you know. That's phileo. I love my dog. Some of them, agape their dog, but anyway, I just love my dog. Or I love my girlfriend. Or boyfriend. I'm fond for you. Jesus said that to Jesus. Jesus said it to Peter. Hey, Peter, do you love me? Do you flatter me? Lord, you know I'm fond of you. Lord, I'd do anything for you. Lord, you're just all right. And Jesus said, do you agape me? That's the last word, agapo, or agape. To love, beloved, love of persons, love to welcome, love to entertain, to be fond of, love dearly, deeply, to be well pleased, to be content at, or things. Agape donates a love that reaches beyond human nature to God. Those who possess this love will prove or are proving by its possession and expression like the likeness of God's. Consequently, their unlikeness to human nature, they look to God instead of look to man. They love so much and they overlook and they pardon and they are willing to forgive. Amen. You ever heard of someone, well, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. That's phileo. That's not agape love. Unfortunately, we have this brain that is wired and forgets nothing. I wish there was a way you could delete. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? To delete and reconfigure, and never to remember again. I only know one person to do that, and that's God. Amen. He said, I'll take your sins, I'll cast them in the deepest sea, never to remember them again. Amen? Aren't you glad about that? How many are glad about that? Why don't you use it when somebody else does something to you? Get on with life. Amen. What is the deal? What's the point? The point is, when a person gets saved, he has the heart of Jesus Christ. He has the Holy Spirit living within him. And his life completely changes, supposedly. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. We are redeemed or regenerated as when we say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins and come into my heart and save me right now. I just ask God to forgive me all my sins. And he did. And he cast them in the deepest sea. Never remember them again. Amen. What about me? Why do I keep holding this grudge? Why do I keep holding this thing that it just won't, I can't let it go? Why is every time I think about this person that fires me up? Maybe. It might be a good idea. You go back to your Bible and check out what Jesus does for you. What does the Bible say? Tender-hearted, loving one another. Forgiving one another. As God has forgiven you in Christ's sake. Wow. Well, here's the case in point. When you look at Cain, who not only was the first son of Adam, he was the leader of the branch of the race. He followed the natural course of fallen, sinful human nature. Cain and his descendants became city builders and industrialists and capitalists and artists. And they engaged in all the industries and crafts and art of civilization. But in spite of their development, Cain was a wanderer and a religious murderer. He killed his brother in a moment of religious jealousy. Here's the point. Whoever possesses God's nature has God's love. They become not only unlike Cain, but also unlike the whole order of the Canaanitic civilization to which our 21st century civilization belongs to. Don't you wonder what in the world is going on in this world? What are these wicked, evil people just shooting people and killing people and stabbing people and getting so drunk they can't even see and drive down the road and kill a family? Explain that to me. Or some money-craving doctor to rip a baby out of a mother's womb for money. Explain that to me. One of the sins mentioned concerning Cain is murder. Murder is the greatest of natural sin. It coincides with hatred. The greatest of spiritual sins. Murder is the natural to human nature as lying and thieving immorality. Take the guns away. That'll stop it. Are you an idiot? Are you really an idiot? That's not going to stop it. Why? Because man is craved, and they're wicked, and they're sinful, and they're evil. And without Jesus Christ in the heart, it will not change. You can legislate morality all you want, but it ain't going to change a thing. You just may put a few more people in jail, but that's it. It ain't going to stop it, amen. Apostle John, addressing the disciples to their responsibility, he said, you're to love one another. Yes, brother, you're to love your sister. Sister, you're to love your brother. Quit your yelling and screaming and hollering and cheating and doing everything to go against each other. The Bible says, love one another. What does it do? It shows my Christianity. I could just kill him. I could just get my hand around his throat and just shake the daylights out of him. Boy, I'd like to grab him by the ankle and pop his head off like a rattlesnake. Amen. I'd like to grab his arm off and rip it off and beat it over his head. You know. Whew, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. If we were to measure these earthly disciples by what they became, and we do, we must then judge them in the light of what they once were. Think of disciples. Boy, they're a mass of humanity, weren't they? Old Peter. James and John, the sons of thunder. Yeah. Great guys. Yeah, you wouldn't want to meet them in a dark alley, amen? But what happened to them? The love of Jesus Christ. His essential greatness is measured not by how far a man has come, but by how far he has come from where he started from. Here were these men who were showing how far they had come by the love that they had in their heart. It was proving how unlikely they were to the former selves and how more like they were to Jesus Christ. That's what we really want to gauge ourselves by. It is by this that all men shall know that ye are my disciples. By what? By love. Quit pretending. We must make God just sick. How can a man tell if I'm saved? By my love. I hate him. I despise him. Man, you sound like an old grizzly bear. An old wolf. Oh boy, that's really great, eh? What a blessing. God says, yep, that's my boy. That's my little girl over there. What a blessing. By this shall all men know. And I thought that when we got saved, we were supposed to show off our religion or show off our Christianity. And this is by this. show that you are my disciples. The word disciple means willing to be taught. I'm willing to learn. Have you ever got mad? You ever got mad? What do you do about it? Well, according to the people that know, women yell and scream and use their mouth. Men use their fist. That's how I know that I'm mad. Bust doors, punch holes in the walls. Thank God for George. He comes and cleans it up. Amen. Throw things down. You ever been out golfing with a guy and he just gets so mad he throws a club, you know? I saw a guy one time take a club and did a wrap it around. It was a funny thing, man. He hit, it was before the fiber thing golf club. He hit one up to this. Anyway, he couldn't even get that golf club off that tree. Nuts! Just plain nuts! What was he doing? He was showing that he was mad. Now, that was a girl. Guys, you can't fight that, and so just shut up. Probably not the good idea right then to say, you know, if you're a Christian, a good idea. So next time you start doing it, just look at him and say, I remember what the preacher said last Sunday. By this, you see, the absence of sinning negates, the absence of sinning is the negative characteristics of the Christian life. He doesn't sin. That's a negative point. Yeah, that's right. Not a bad point. It's saying, yeah, he doesn't sin anymore like he used to. So the presence of love is a positive characteristic of Christian love. If you don't have a negative and a positive in your battery, it's no good. If it's all positive, you don't have no ground, it's no good. They have to be hooked together. And then they'll work. And so we have the negative and the fact that, hey, not going to sin. And the positive says, hey, I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you no matter what. In the Christian life, in the marriage life, how important is that? Because us guys do some pretty stupid things. Don't say amen, ladies. We don't need that this morning, all right? There you go again. Yapping again. But anyway, right? I pray, I wish you were here, Brother Rick, instead of me. And the very possible step out of character where love does not control and dominate our actions, we got a problem. Am I dominated by love? Is that my character? Boy, you said, good night. It's about 11:50. I'm glad he's about over with. Yeah, because I got some good stuff here. But if this is possible, it is only possible on the occasion of an incidental action that when things come up, all of a sudden, instead of raging and ranting over something, you just kind of back up and say, Lord, you're going to have to help me in this. That's the difference. What would you think if Jesus just went crazy? No, he just laid there and they pounded those nails in his hands. And he said, Father, forgive us. That's true love. I'd be kicking and squalling and screaming and going crazy, wouldn't you? But Jesus Christ showed us or demonstrated His love for us by laying there and taking it. Ain't nobody going to take me alive. You ain't going to do that to me. I thought you were a Christian. I thought that you had the characteristics of love that automatically turn on even before we even know we're supposed to be acting that way. It is equally impossible to consistently, now listen to me, and persistently hate. For God's word charges us, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You cannot be persistent and continual in your meanness and your hatred if you're a Christian. Amen. I'm not saying you're not going to get upset. I'm not saying you're not going to get mad. I'm not saying that. Because even Jesus said, hey, let not your wrath go down with the sun. Amen. But I'm telling you, if you keep that up and keep that up and keep that up, and you are just one bag of meanness, I'd check some things out in my Christianity. Amen. I really wonder, how in the world can you be that way? How can you be so mean to your wife or your husband? How can you be so... Secondly, love also proves our difference to the world. The Bible said, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. The believer's identity begins with a new nature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if you don't have this in the back of your Bible, you ought to have this in your back of the Bible. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The word creature in the Hebrew, in the Greek there, means creation, a new creation. Or literally, a new regening. We talk about the gene pool. We talk about the DNA. That's what he's talking about there. You have a new DNA. Once you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you ask Him to forgive your sins, you ask Him to come in your heart, the Holy Spirit abides within you, you have been redeemed, you have been changed. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be? In all holy conversation and godliness, it is imperative, it is expected of a Christian to live a different life than this world. I have no question about these people, the guy that killed all those little children, this guy that went on a rampage over here, this person did this, this person, I have no question about. Unfortunately, it does not surprise us because they're of the world. And just like Cain, men all across this world do crazy things. This is crazy. Because why? They're acting out their father, the devil, Satan, Beelzebub. They're acting it out. They're evil. That's why in scripture over there in Romans chapter 13 talks about the law, the police officers and the sheriffs and things. They're there for peace, to bring these wicked people to justice. Amen. It's their responsibility. For Colossians chapter 3 verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall all also ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon this earth. Mortify, said, kill it. put it to death. This thing in me that fires up all the time, God said, you kill that thing. You ever seen a dead person? They don't talk to you. They don't talk back to you. They don't sass you. They're not mean to you. They just lay there. You can poke them. They won't move. They won't yell. Remember the story about a man. He was so upset with his father. And his father died. And he wanted to tell his father some things. And he was so upset with him because his father did some pretty mean things to his mother and his sisters and him. And he just raged in his heart. And the preacher said, hey, I'll tell you what, let's go down to the cemetery and tell your dad that stuff. And the guy said, well, yeah, just go on there. He went down there and he started yelling and screaming at his dad at his grave. And finally, he starts weeping. And he looked at the preacher and said, this doesn't do any good. No, it doesn't do any good. Well, that person's dead, is dead. The same way the Bible talks about us mortifying our body. If it's dead, you can't hurt it. You can burn it till it turns to dust. But you ain't going to hurt it. The Bible said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And then he explains them who they are. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children disobedient. So God says, I'm going to take care of that. The wrath of God is going to take care of that. So leave it alone. You just mortify your body that you would not get caught in that. Amen. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye are also, put off all these. Anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Our chains are different. So, as we as Christians, when we come together, we have to be very careful that we show the love of Jesus Christ towards each other. All of us are different. All of us look different. Act different. Think different. Some of us grew up in some places that have different cultures than others. But God said when we become a Christian, we're all in one. And when the troubles come, the heartache comes, we say, hey, wait a minute. I'm willing to take it. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. I'm willing to take it. This sets us apart from the world. And we must not be surprised when the world exhibits hatred towards us. Don't be surprised when people act like that towards you. Jesus said that was going to happen. When a Christian exhibits hatred, we have the right to be surprised. Do you hear me? When a Christian exhibits hatred, we have a right to be surprised. I'm surprised at you. And astonished because love, not hatred, is the thing most naturally expected of a Christian. I expect you to love me. I expect you to forgive me. I expect you to love me whether you understand me or not. Here's a little poem. There was a time when in my daily prayer I asked for all the things I deem most fair and necessary to my life's success. Riches, of course, and ease and happiness. A host of friends, a home without alloy, a primrose path, of luxury and joy and a social distinction and enough of fame to leave behind a well-remembered name. Ambition ruled my life. I longed to do great things that all my little world might view and whisper, "Wonderful, ah, patient God. How blind we are until thy shepherd's rod of tender chastening gentle leads me on to better things. Today I have put on petition, Lord, teach me to love, indeed, is my greatest and my only need. Teach me to love not those who first love me, but all the world with their rare purity of broad outreaching thoughts which bear no trace of earthly taint, but holds its embrace humanity and only seems to see the good in all reflect, Lord, from them, from thee. Teach me, Father, how to love the most those who most stand in need of love, that host of people who are sick and poor and bad, who toil along road with footsteps slow and hearts more heavily than the world can know. People who others pass discreetly by or fail to hear the pleading of that cry for help amid the turmoil of the crowd whose very anguish makes them cold and proud, resentful, stubborn, bitter of their grief. I want to bring them comfort and relief, to put my hand in theirs and at their side, walk slowly on, softly on, and faithful, fearless guide. O Savior, thou the Christ truth ever near, help me to feel these sad ones doubt doubly dear, because they need so much. Help me to seek and find that which they thought was lost, to speak such words of cheer that they pass along the wilderness shall blooming into song. Ah, love divine, how empty was the prayer of other days, that which was once so fair. Those flimsy babbles which the world calls joy are nothing to me but broken toys. Outlive, outgrown, I thank thee that I know, though those much desired dreams of long ago, like butterflies, have had their summer day, a brief enchantment, and have gone. I pray for better things. Thou knowest, God above, all our desires now. Teach me to love. Heritage Baptist Church will be a greater church than ever seen before if we can understand this little word named love and put up and love up and encourage and bring up the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not all begins at home. In fact, it all begins personally, and then in home, and then our church, that we become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, I've failed many times in this. And you will too. You'll fail miserably. But that's why the Bible gives us that wonderful verse in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins. It is a sin not to love. It is a sin to be out of character of as Christians. By their fruits ye shall know them. Why would I want to go and pick some sour fruit when I can pick the nectar sweet fruit of love? May I encourage you as a Christian to bear the marks of the Christian. By this they shall know that here are my disciples. Father, I pray you'd help us today. Help us understand that our life is more than just me. Our life is just more than I. Our life is those around us and those that we touch. God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts, and may we, Lord Jesus, today continue to give ourselves to love one another. Forgive us where we failed you, Lord God. Forgive us where we have been unkind. Forgive us when we've spoken things that should never come out of a Christian's mouth. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, how our tongue is so sharp and so mean and so incredibly devilish, and it's set on fire from hell. Please, God, I beg you today that you'd speak to our hearts, that we would be really real Christians. Now that's a real Christian. Lord, speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure if I die today that Jesus would take me home." Well, I'm concerned about that today. My friend, why don't you ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and ask Him to come into your heart? Why don't you right now say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now." Well, I challenge you today. I encourage you today to know Jesus. Maybe you're here today and say, "Preacher, there's not too many love words that comes out of my mouth. Not many good things come out of my mouth. Not many very good things come out of my heart. I'm just plain mean inside of me. And I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I don't like to be that kind of person." Well, first of all, if you're a Christian today, you can ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of that. And like Jesus said, go and sin no more. Won't you trust Christ today? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Everyone standing, you're here today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that." Music going to play. You step out of that seat. You just come. You come to Jesus today. Let me shake your hand and I'll help you. I'll show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. You come right now. Say, "Preacher, I'm not saved.